Bezras Hashem Yizbarech, the daf for Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Vayetze is daf Nun Beis in Maseches Shabbos, the 113th daf in Shas. We pick up where we left off, Bezras Hashem, last time on Nun Beis Amid Aleph, four lines from the top. The Gemara was discussing the halachos of the Mishnah of an animal that goes out with a harness, that our Mishnah told us that a camel can go out with its harness. The Mishnah then discusses what happens if you have a camel that goes out with a harness that's unique for a naka, and that is a nose ring. And the Gemara concluded that our last words was that we follow the opinion of Hananya, that even though the camel doesn't need such a strong harness, a netirasa yisera is not considered a masui. It's important for us also to remember that the expression masui means a burden, and it's prohibited to go out with it Shabbos. If it's a tachshit, so then in such a case it's not considered usur, and that's normal for the animal to go out with. The Gemara continues four lines on top. Tanan Devei Menashe, they learn the yeshiva of Menashe. Eiz Shechokak Laben Karnel, a goat that had a harness tied into a hole in its horns. A hole was born inside its horns, and there was a harness that was put inside. Then he's allowed to go out with it. Rashi says that in general, if a string, we're going to see this in Mishnayos later on, are tied into the horns of an animal, then we're afraid that the Baal HaBayis will remove them and carry them on Shabbos. However, if it's a harness that was stuck into the hole in the horns of the animal, then in such a case it's acceptable. Boy, Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asked the following shal, Tachalo Bezikna. Some of the goats that we have, the mountain goats, actually have beards. And the question is, what if the harness was put into the beard? Mao, kimedi mintechla kovlei lo aslan tucha. On the one hand, if you cut it off from the animal, it will cause the animal pain. And therefore, it's not likely for the animal to cause it to be ripped off and for a person to come to carry it. Maybe it will become loose and fall off, and then a person will come to carry it. Teku. When I was a child, we learned that teku stands for Tishbi Yitareitz Kushius Be'avayis. Elio Atishbi will answer our questions. Look, Gemara later on, and Undalid Amabez is going to have a Mishnah. Tanan Hasam, we learned in that Mishnah. That you're not, the animal's not allowed to go out with a leather strap between its horns. I'm Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba. Rabbi Yirmiyah Bar Abba said, Pligi Bar Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel had a machlokus about the Schad. Amar Bein Lunamai Bein Lishamer. Also, one said that whether it's there for adornment or whether it's there to guard the animal, because it's likely to fall off, the halach is, that's asur. V'chacham Marmi Lunoi asur. If it's there for adornment, so then it's asur. V'lishamer mutter. But if it's there to guard the animal in order, Rashi explains, to hold on to the animal like a leash, so then in such a case it's acceptable. Now Rav Yosef wants to connect this machlokus and figure out who the man da'amar is that holds that if it's there l'shamer to protect, it's permissible based on what we learned yesterday. Amar Rav Yosef t'stayim d'shmuel hu da'amar l'noi also l'shamer muter. It's Shmuel who holds that if it's l'shamer, then it's permissible. The Amar Avuna Bar Chiya Amar Shmuel halacha kechananya. Because Shmuel had said that we paskin like Chananya. Let us remind ourselves, well, we have two big Chananyas. One is the Chananya on the first daf of the third parak, and the other is the Chananya on the first daf of the fifth parak. We're discussing the Chananya on the first daf of the fifth parak. Chananya had taught us that if one is doing Netirasa Yisera by putting something that is not necessary for the animal to be guarded, it's an extra guarding, which really this animal does not need. It's necessary for a stronger animal. For example, putting the nose ring on the na'aka is necessary. On the gomel, it's not necessary. If you put it on the gomel, so an extra guarding is going to be as well acceptable and not considered a masui. Now, Shmuel said we paskin like this opinion of Chananya. If Shmuel says that we paskin like this opinion of Chananya, then we're saying l'shamer is mutter. That's the logic of Rav Yosef. Amalei Abaye wasn't so happy with that logic. Adarabba, to stay mudamer Shmuel, the Shmuel who damar, we could say the opposite, that Shmuel is the one who holds bein lenoi, bein leshamer, asur, that he holds it's asur. Damar, you damar Shmuel, machlifin lifnei rabo shelzu bezu. This is for the phenomenon that we spoke about earlier, and that is that they asked Rebbe, what happens if you switch what is necessary for a naka and you put it on a gamal? And for a gamal, you put on a naaka. So what would the halacha be? Are they allowed to go out with it? Amar l'fan Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi, kach amar Abba. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yosi quoted in name of his father, name of Rabbi Yosi, Dalid b'emetz yotzis b'afsar asus v'aperet v'agamal v'achamar. They're allowed to go out with these things. Lav lemiute must be coming to preclude gamal bechetem, that a gamal is not allowed to go out with a nose ring because it's not necessary. So what do we see? We see that a tirusa yiserta is considered a masui. And this was the teaching of Yehuda Amr had said in the name of whom? Of Shmuel. So you can't say that Shmuel is the one who goes with the opinion that says L'shamer is mutter. I would say the opposite. L'shamer is going to be asur, according to Shmuel. This is the argument of Abaye. The Gemara responds to defend Rav Yosef, who had said that even L'shamer would be mutter, according to Shmuel. And the Gemara says, Sameha mikmeha. Your raya that you brought in this teaching from Shmuel falls away in front of the other teaching. Because we had assume that Shmuel holds that L'shamer is mutter, so you now have a stira, sameha mikmeha. You, this raya needs to fall away in front of the other one. Asks the Gemara, my chaz is to mas mizha mikmeha, sameha mikmeha. Maybe we should say that the raya that was brought, that Shmir Yisera is mutter, should fall away from the second raya that Abaye had brought. We will go with the parentheses. The Ashkechan Shmuel, the Gemara answers because we found Beferish that Shmuel said, the Omer Lenoi also Shamer Mutter. The Itmar, Rebchia Barashi Amar Rav, Bein Lenoi Bein Lashamer Osir, Rebchia Barab and Amar Shmuel, Lenoi Osir Lashamer Mutter. That we learned Beferish that Shmuel had said, Lashamer is going to be permissible. And the fact that Shmuel had reported that when a gamal is allowed to go out with an afsar, which is mashma, that a ring is would be asur, the Gemara earlier on Unalef Amibes had said that maybe it was only talking about a na'aka ba'afsar, but not a gamal bechotem. Meisive asks the Gemara kasha, koshra ba'alel b'moseira k'sheira, if the owner ties it with a harness, it's acceptable. Here we're talking about a paraduma, that a paraduma, the harness is not considered a violation of the pasuk velo allah all, that a paraduma is not allowed to have any work that's done on it. And if you're going to say that there are times that the harness is considered a masui, as we had suggested, that lenoi is asur, so then in such a case, why would it be that it would be kosher? Doesn't the pasuk say asher lo aleha all? So how could you ever have a masui in this type of case? And for that matter also, when it comes to Shmira Yisera, Amar Abaye said, b'molicha me'ir le'ir. We're talking about an individual who's moving a cow from one city to the next, and then he needs an afsar. An afsar is necessary. Hence, it's not considered an all, and it's not a masui. Even though the mission that we had quoted above that said arba behemos yotzeis ba'afsar, which is a tosef, more precisely a toseftim perikei, and para is not mentioned over there, so one would have thought, as the Gemara is assuming in its question, that it qualifies as a shmira yisera, and nevertheless, when it comes to a shmira yisera, we see it's not considered an all. So the answer is no. This is not a Shmira Yisera. Shmira Yisera might be an ol, and Shmira Yisera might be a masui, not like Chananya. However, over here, the par is going meir le'ir and needs a Shmira Yisera. Rav Amar Rav gave another teretz. Shani par didomeha yikarin. A par aduma is extremely valuable, and therefore it needs to be watched from the onset, and people invest a lot in its Shmira, even though the Shmira is not absolutely necessary. Ravina Amar, Ravina suggests, we're talking about Bi Moredes. We're talking about a paraduma that is a rebellious one, what we call in Hebrew Begil Tipeshesrei, an adolescent para. He's hard to control. So that needs Netirasa Yisera, and that Netirasa Yisera is normal, and therefore it would fall into the category of Asher Lo Aleha Of. Mishnah had told us as we begin the next Gemara that a horse goes out Basher. Basher we translate as a neck chain, or for that matter could qualify as a collar. The Gemara will analyze that the Mishnah told us that the horse could go out with its collar, and all animals that have collars can go out with it, as well as Nimshachin Bashir, that you could also pull it with its collar. Analyzes the Gemara, Mai Yoitzin Umay Nimshachin. What does it mean that they could go out with the collar, and what does it mean that they could be pulled? Amar Rav Huna explained, O Yoitzin Kruchin, O Nimshachin. You could have them go out just Karuch, just wrapped around with their collar around their neck, but you don't need to actually be walking them. In other words, the crux of Rav Huna's chiddush is that even though you're not using the collar right now to guard the animal, nevertheless, it's going to be permissible. And we still consider it not a masoi. We mentioned that when you're putting something on, like the harness, to protect, so then in such a case, that's not a masoi, and it has a din of a tachshit. Rashi explains in Dibar Hamaschel Yotzin Kruchim, that in those days it was normal for a collar to be part of the noi of the animal, and according to Rav Huna, that's not considered as if your animal is carrying, and you're not in violation of Shvisas Behemta. Shmuel Amar Yotzim Nimchashim Ve'en Yotzin Kruchim. Shmuel disagrees and says that they're not allowed to go with the collar around because it's only there for noi, for beauty purposes, and it's not normal, hence it's considered as if you're carrying. A third opinion is introduced in a brice from a brisa, b'masnisatan, in a brisa they learned, just simply to have a beautiful collar is not acceptable. Yotzin kruchin limashech, that you're allowed to have the animal go out with the collar around, even if you're not pulling at that particular moment. However, it needs enough space, Rashi explains, to be able to grab it. In other words, you walk next to the animal, and any moment, the hand could stick in between the collar and the neck, so that you'll be able to grab it. Amar Rav Yosef Chazinulu La'agole Devei Rav Huna, I saw the cattle of Rav Huna, Yotzin Baf Sirein Kruchin B'Shabbos, that they went out with their collars and saddles around their necks on Shabbos, even though he wasn't. So Rav Yosef attests that he saw that these cattle were going out with their saddles. Kiyasa Rav Dimi also reported a similar thing, and he said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Molo Shobais Rebbe, the donkeys of Rebbe Yotzes Batrasarehen B'Shabbos. So we have two testimonies about those who allowed their donkeys to go out Karuch B'Shabbos. Emphasis over here is it wasn't specifically to walk them, Limashech, or to guard them, but rather they were just allowed to walk out with their collars, which would seem to indicate that we paskin that going out with the collars would be, even if it's not Limashech, just Karuch. The Gemara now has given us different testimonies from different people about Tanoim and Amoraim, that whose animals went out with a collar. Amru Rabbanan Kmei de Ravasi. The Rabbanan said in front of Ravasi, Hadar Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. The last person we had learned was Rav Shmuel Amar Yehuda in the name of Rabbi Chanina of Molos Shel Rebbe. Lo Tzricha, we didn't need that. Because above, we had Rav Dimi, who already reported it. Lo Tzricha Med Rav Dimi Nachma. We can learn out from Rav Dimi. The Isakadaitech, and even if you're going to want to say the Rav Dimi Nimshachin Ka'amar, that Rav Dimi was only talking about a case in which they were also, the helpers of Rebbe were pulling the animals with the collar, but the animals weren't going out with the collar themselves. Mid Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel Nafka. Then there's another Makar, and that's Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel. The Amar of Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Machlifin Ayulfnei Rebbe Shel Zobazu, that we said in front of Rebbe the following switched case. So they had posed this question in front of Rebbe. Machlifin ayulfan of Rebbe shalzu bezumahu. They asked Rebbe, if you switched in our Mishnah the case of an animal that normally gets the chotem, the naka, and you put on it an afsar, and you switch a gamal, and you put on it a chotem, and Omar lefana Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi. So in front of Rebbe, Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi answered, Kach amar abba, he quoted Rabbi Yossi, Arbei misyotzeis ba'afsar, asus va'per va'gamal v'hachamor, which indicates that they could go out only in this manner and not in any other manner. Now the Gemara had used this teaching on yesterday's daf on an aleph on the base for one purpose, and now the Gemara is using this teaching for a different purpose. And the purpose is the following. If Rav Dimi was just telling us that the animal is allowed to go out with an afsar and was not talking about kruchin and only talking about numshachin, that we already learned. We learned it from this teaching of Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel that the sus is allowed to go out with the afsar, which is also a collar. So therefore, Rav Dimi must be teaching us a bigger chiddush, numshachin. Amar lahu, so they responded back, no. We still need the teaching of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda, and the teaching of Rav Dimi is not enough, plus the teaching of Yehuda bar Shmuel is not enough. We need also the teaching of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. No, we do need the teaching of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda. Dimi de Rav Yehuda nafka, because if we were simply learning out from Rav Yehuda bar Shmuel, the case in which the animal is going out, the sus is allowed to go out with its afsar, I would have thought, Amar lefanav, he only said in front of Rebbe, v'lo kibla minein, who says it was accepted? So therefore, Rav Dimi could still have been only talking about a case of going out nimashach, but kruchin we wouldn't know. And that's why we need the testimony of Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda that even kruchin was acceptable. Kamash malon, de Rav Dimi. And that's why we need the case and of Rav Dimi. The either of Dimi, Hava Mina Hani Nilim Shachim, as we explained. We would have thought only Nim Shachim, Ava Kruchin Law, but not Kruchin, Kamash Malon, Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda. The Chiddush is Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda.
The Gemara continues two lines from the bottom, discussing the halachos of our Mishnah that had said that if a collar is on an animal or a harness is on an animal, so then one could purify it from Tumas Meis with the Paraduma, Umazin Alehen, and one could purify it in the mikvah by having the animal go into the mikvah, Vitovlam Bimikoma. Now the Gemara asks, Lememra, are we saying to Be Kubule Tumaninu that these things are susceptible for being Mikabel Tuma? The assumption, of course, is that if you're purifying it from Tumas Meis or other types of Tuma, then it's subject to Tuma. But didn't we learn in a Mishnah? Tabos Adam Tmeya, Vitabos Behema Ukelim, Ushar Kalhat Tabos Tahoros. Anytime we have something that is related to a person, the ring of a person is Tame. However, a ring of an animal or utensils and all other types of rings are Tahar. What do we see? That something that is related to an animal cannot be called a tachshit, and therefore it cannot be called a kli, explains Rashi on the top of Amud Beis. So the question is, how would this ever become tame? And the Gemara introduces two possible terutzim. Amar Rav Yitzchak Nafcha, biboin minoy adam lenoy behema. Rav Yitzchak suggested that the case that we're talking about is an instance where it originally started as an adornment for a person, and then it was switched to an adornment for an animal. Hence, if it starts off as an adornment for a person and then for an animal, then it could be something that is subject lekabel tuma, because it started off as a kli. But ein achinami, if it started immediately as a kli for an animal, kalim for an animal, the Mishnah in Maseches Kalim, as the Mesoras Hashas points out to us, in Perik Yud Beis Mishnah Aleph, already tells us that they're not subject to tuma. Rav Yosef has an ingenious teretz. And this is how the Rambam deals with this problem. Rav Yosef Amar, Hov Adam Moshech Behem Es HaBehema. Since a human being uses the collar to drag the animal, it's true, it sits on the animal, but its purpose is also for a human being. And once its purpose is also for a human being, in such a case, it is prone to be Mekabel Tuma. Milo Tanya, did we not learn? Makel shel behema shel mateches mikabel tuma.
stick that is used to nudge an animal or to hit an animal, depending how mean the owner is mekabel tuma, even though it's put on the animal, but it's considered related back to the owner. My tam, hol v'adam rodeben, since a person uses it to nudge the animal, in such a case, it's considered shayich la'adam, it's considered tachshit ha'adam. Hachanami here too, when it comes to the collar, hol v'adam moshech ben, since the human being drags it. Therefore, it's considered something that is not only the animals, but is also a kli la'adam, and once it's considered a kli la'adam, it is mekabel tuma as well. Gemara now analyzes the last part of the Mishnah that had told us that one is allowed to be tovel if the object is tameh, the collar or the saddle that's on the animal, bimkoman, in its same place. Asks the Gemara, va'ika chatzitza, how could it be that you could leave the collar on? At the end of the day, the skin of the animal that goes up flesh against the collar is going to create a chatzitza. We know that the halacha is that when one goes to the mikveh, the Torah tells us uvaha mayim v'toyer, that the mikveh has to come, the water of the mikveh has to come in contact with the body. V'rachatzes b'saro b'mayim, that the body has to come in contact with the water. So how could it possibly be that the collar, which generally goes flesh up against the animal, even if the animal puts its body into the water, there's going to be a chatzitza between the water and the collar? Answers the Gemara, Omar Rebbe Ami b'shiritchan. Ritchan means the following. The object, the kli, was hammered out by a hammer. By hammering out the metal collar and flattening it, then it will no longer go up. The horizontal part will no longer go up against the flesh of the animal, and then it's possible to do tefillah, the Gemara claims, on all of it. Lema Rabbi Amikar of Yosef Svirle. Now the Gemara does a brilliant analysis. Assuming that this metzius is correct, that when one hammers it out and flattens it, so then the whole vertical part is no longer up against the flesh and it's now horizontal, then we can make the following diuk that Rabbi Ami's teretz works with Rav Yosef that we had above. Let's remind ourselves. Above we had seen that the reason why this collar can be subject to tumah, even though it comes from a tumah that was attributed to a utensil that was of an animal, and general kelim of an animal are not tameh. So we had two answers. Rabbi Yitzchak had told us because it had originally started as a utensil of a human being, then it'll contract tumah. While Rabbi Yosef had told us that it's considered as if it's for the person as well. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Ami is working like Rabbi Yosef. The Ikar Rabbi Yitzchak, if we would say that it started off as a minui adam, which had turned as a minui edam, da amar bibon minui adam, lenoi behema, that we're talking about something that had started out as an adornment for a human being, and then turned into a dormant an animal. Over here, kivan de rischan, since you do this process of rischan, where you hammer it out and change its tzura, aviba maisa, then you did a maisa, uparchala tumim minayu. And then when it had started off becoming tame to a person, so then in such a case, that tuma disappears when the keli is changed. How do we know that tuma disappears? This is not as we learn in the Mishnah. Kol ha-kelim yardin lidei tumasan b'machshava, ve'ein olim mitumasan el mishinui maisa. If a person changes his mind and decides that even though the utensil could have another tarnish added to it, a little bit of paint and so on and so forth, but decides to use it as a keli, then by simply deciding it could be subject to tuma and be considered already a kli, even though he didn't do any action. However, you cannot raise it up from its tuma and say, oh, I no longer want to use this as a utensil, and a utensil that had contracted tuma now fall away because of that decision. Ela b'shinui maisa, but rather a person needs to change vis-a-vis his action. He has to do a different action. So by definition, once a shinui is made, So then in such a case, the keli loses its original status of tumah. That means that if the keli had become tameh when it was noy adam, now that the only way we could explain the process of tvila is if he did a shinoi, so then it will lose its tumah. So it will never require tahara in the first place. It must be that Rabbi Ami, is going within the shita of Rav Yosef and not the shita, the first shita of Rav Yitzchak. Says the Gemara, we could answer it. Savar la k'Reb Yehuda, damar maisa sakin la maisu. He's following the opinion of Reb Yehuda, who holds that a maisa of tikkun is not considered a maisa. The sign is we learned in Braisa. Reb Yehuda, aymer loy amar shinu maisa l'sakin, ela l'kalkel. Simply changing object is not enough. Rather, what one needs to do is actually ruin the object entirely. Being misakin is not enough for it to lose its tumah. If it's been entirely destroyed, that would be a different story. The Gemara now returns to its original kasha, how you could be tovel, the shear, the collar in its place when sitting on the animal, if at the end of the day there should be a chatzitza. B'masnisa tana, in a braisa, we answer b'mechulalin. That we're talking about a collar that was made with many rings to it, like a what's called in Hebrew a sharsheret, a chain, that if it was made as a chain, so then in such a case there's a lot of space between all of the material, and then if it's not snug on the animal, so then in such a case there would be no chatzitza between the animal and the chain. There is always space between every part, and therefore there's no chatzitza. Period. We start a new Gemara. Shal Talmud Echad Migalila Elyon. There was one Talmud from way up north that asked Es Rabbi Elazar, Shemati Shechokim Bein Tabas L'Tabas. I heard that the halachas of Tumah depends from ring to ring. In other words, some rings are subject to Tumah and some rings not. Amar Lo, he said, no. Said to Rabbi Elazar, you don't got it right. Shemelo Shemata Elin Yin Shabbos. You only heard this, the Rebbe Elazar says to the Talmud, in regards to Shabbos. When it comes to Shabbos, there is a distinction between the two. Here there's a mistake in Rashi, in the standard edition, where in Dibar Maschil Elin Shabbos, they say Rashi's quoting from Nun Tes Amud Aleph, and I couldn't find it there. And then I looked, the Oz V'Hadar Gemara is corrected, it's Samach Amud Aleph, that the halacha is that when it comes to a ring that has a stamp is considered a masoi. A ring that's not does not have a stamp is considered a tachshit. People would only wear a ring as a tachshit if it didn't have a stamp. So le'inyan Shabbos, we have a distinction between rings, as the Gemara in Sama Chamed Aleph spells out. However, dealing in tuma davada achasi, for tuma the halacha is the same. Now the Gemara is going to go on and continually question whether in tuma the halacha is uniform when it comes to rings. Uliin tuma davada achasi, in regards to tuma, is it identical? Vatanam, but then we learn tabasa adam taba tmeya, when it comes to a human ring. So then it's a keli and contracts tumah. V'tabos b'im v'keli mushar kol tabos taharos. Yeah, when it comes to the rings on animals and other utensils, it's tar. So we see that the halacha is that it depends on whether it's for a human or an animal. Ki kamer le'iu, no. When the Talmud asked that he was aware that behema was different, but iu nami da adam kamer le'iu. He only asked the shayla in regards to adam. Asks the Gemara, da adam la'adam. Dova da achasi, and really regards to a person, it's really one thing. Well, Tanya, did we learn in a brisa? Tabas shiskinu lachgor bo masnov v'likshir bo beng seifav tahora. When it comes to a ring that was made to attach something like a belt or a shawl, so it's tahora. V'lom ramu tmeya elashal etzbabelvat, and the only type of ring that becomes defiled is one that's put on the finger. So what do we see? There are different types of tavos, even when it comes to adam. Ki karmelei iu, nami d'etzba karmelei, the Gemara answers. No, that Talmud was only asking about the ring of the finger. U'de'etzba davada achasi, and on the finger is it one halacha. V'atnam, but then we learn in Mishnah Tava shel matechas, if one has a ring of metal, v'chosma shel almog, and a signet ring that is made out of almog. Rashi points out that the word almog is a pasuk in Malachim Aleph, Perek Yud, Atzei Almogim. which means a beautiful wood. So a chosma shel almug is tmeya. If the ring was made out of metal and the signet is made out of this fine wood, then it's tame. However, he shel almug, if the ring itself is made out of this fine wood, v'chosama shel mateches, and its signet is made out of metal, so then the halacha is different. Tahora. So what do we see? That there's a split in the halacha. Says Gemara, ki karmela yunami kula shamal techos kamla. His shah that was only on metal. And that's why the response was that all metal rings are going to become tameh. The Gemara now quotes a new shayla that this fellow from the Galil had asked. Va'odshav, shamati shecholkin beimachat lemachat. I heard that there's a distinction between different types of needles vis-a-vis tuma. Amalei shemelo shamata ilinyin Shabbos. If you heard in regards to Shabbos, that makes sense. Rashi explains that Gemara later on Zion is going to point out that if a needle has a hole in it, so then in such a case, that is a needle that's an artisan's needle, and if you're carrying it, that's a masui. However, if it does not have a hole in it, then it's used to pin things together, and that people do all their time to pin together something on their shirt, which would qualify as a tachshit. So the Gemara asks, if you're talking about an artisan's needle that has a hole that you could string a thread through, so then in such a case, then that is different, linyan Shabbos, than a needle that's used conventionally to join things in your clothing. However, they told him that, Rabbi Lazar told him it's the exact same thing. Asks the Gemara, linyan tuma davada achasi, for tuma, is it the same thing? V'atam machat shenitel chora, a machat whose hole has been broken. In other words, you can no longer use it for thread. O uktsa, or its pointy part has been disappeared. So then, in such a case, halach is tahora, it is tar. So Gemara says, you're right. Machat, at times, could become tar, but we're talking about normal machat. So Gemara answers, bishlema, we're talking about a machat that is shalim. Asks the Gemara, ubishlema davada achasi? But when it comes to a shalim, really is halacha always uniform? Vatnan? But didn't we learn the Mishnah in Kalim? Machat shel so chaluda, a needle that has rust that comes on it, imakeves ha-tfira, if it prevents tfira tahora, then lav tmeya. If it prevents appropriate sewing, then it's going to become tameh. Varmid ve-rabiyane, v'husha rishuma nikar. If the effect of the rust is obvious, then it will be tar. If not, it'll be tame. Answers the Gemara, Kikon Lar Vishifa. He's talking about a smooth needle that does not have rust. Rust. So, Ubishifa Davida Achasi, and even if it's smooth, is it one halacha? Vatanya, but then we learn a brisa of Machat Beinikum Beinikum Moto Tatl B'Shabis. That a needle, whether it has a hole in it, whether it doesn't, it's not mukta on Shabbos. V'lo amrin nikuv eliyin tuma v'vat. But there is a distinction between whether there's a hole in it or not for tuma. That when it comes to tuma, there it only has a full status as a kli if it is a needle that a thread could run through it. Question mark. Answers the Gemara. Tirga ba Abaye aliba de Rava begalni. Abaye answered that according to Rava, we're talking about a golem. What is a golem? A needle who hasn't been entirely finished. It hasn't been entirely manufactured. Vis-a-vis the halach of mukta, since it could be used to take out a splinter, so then it's not going to be considered mukta. However, for tumma, then it's not considered nigmar amalachto because it's not been complete, and therefore it's not mekabel tuma. That was the case of the brisa specifically that learned machat beinikuva beinikuva muto talbshas somrinikuva elin yintuma movad. However, in regards to the Talmud who asked Rabbi Eliezer, he only asked him in regards to a complete needle. This Bezer Hashem completes Daf Nun Bez, and we now go on to the halacha section.